mythological poet. The music brought, part one. The music brought us what it seemed we had long desired, but in a form so rarefied there was no emptiness of sensation, as though a fixed delight might persist, like a dear friend walking toward one in a dream. It was the toothless murmuring of ancient willows, who kept their trouble in a stage of music. Without tumult, snow-capped mountains and heart-shaped cathedral windows were contained there, until only infinity remained of beauty. Then, lighter than the air, we rose and packed the picnic basket. But there is beside us, they said, whom we do not sustain, the world of things that rages like a virgin close to our silken thoughts. It can be touched, they said. It cannot harm. But suddenly their green sides foundered as though the virgin beat their airy trellis from within. Over her furious sighs, a new music, monstrous and innocent as an ocean's bright display of teeth, fell on the jousting willows. We are sick, they said. It is a warning we were not meant to understand. Part two. The mythological poet, his face fabulous and fastidious, accepts beauty before it arrives. The heavenly moment in the heaviness of arrival deplores him. He is merely an ornament, a kind of lewd cloud placed on the horizon. Close to the zoo, acquiescing to dust, candy, perverts, inserted in the panting forest, or openly walking in the great and sullen square, he has eloped with all music and does not care. For isn't there, he says, a final diversion, greater because it can be given, a gift too simple to be despised? And oh, beside the roaring centurion of the lion's hunger, might not child and pervert join hands in the instant of their interest, in the shadow of a million boats, their hunger from loss grown merely a gesture?